Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Everything works together for the glory of God. It sings His praises. It really does. But sometimes we become so focused on other things that we forget that all we gotta do is worship Him. All we gotta do is go after Him. Because just like this song says, all things are from you, and all things are to you. They're given. They really are. When He created you, He created you with exactly every single gift, every single thing that He wanted to place inside you for what He purposed you for on this earth. He knew that before you were even conceived and even a thought.
That's right.
He knew exactly what He created you for. So sometimes we put all this work into, God, I got to figure out what to do next. I got to know where I got to go next. I got to figure out this. I got to work this out in my life. I want these things in my life. So how do I make them fit? When He's saying, just look at me, because they're all given to you. I'm going to show you how to use them. It's where faith really comes in strong in our life, right? Realizing that to be the top, I gotta be the bottom. To be great, I gotta know how to serve. I gotta know how to wait on you. I gotta know how to go after you. I gotta know how to stay still in the moments that I wanna fight so bad. It's learning to take what He's given you and use it over your wants and needs. Whew, come on. Because this is where, when we start to realize this, when we start to realize, God, you are worthy of it all. I give you all the praise and all the glory, and I only wait on you. I wait for you to give me direction. I wait for you to tell me my next step. I wait for you. This is where we begin to sit in a place that's just so amazing. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of, it is just a place of revitalization. It's a place of refreshing. It's a place of joy. It's a place of peace. It's a place, because that's the thing. He's already promised you so many gifts, but it's up to us to realize that we need to walk in them. And sometimes walking is taking your kid to place him on an altar when you don't understand why, and letting God show you in the end that I provide you all things. It's not understanding why you've been the one who's been picked, but God, I'm going to listen to you stuttering on. I'm going to go speak to a Pharaoh. It's all those moments that create greatness, not because of you, but because of the surrendering that you give and saying, I'm going to do what you say. Not what I want, not what I feel, not what I think. I just want more of you. What you have in my life, what you want to give me in my life, what you want to place within there. The songs today have been so much about who He is in our life. When I went through these songs, and one of them is new, so I know that that one was just so new to you guys. But the truth is when God gave me these songs, some of them, I didn't quite understand why. But now that I'm standing here in front of you, I'm like, God, you know exactly what you're doing. Because so many of those songs just pointed to the greatness of who He is. And He is your defender. He is the one who fights the battles for you. He is the one who lifts you up in your times of need. He is the one who carries you when you're needy. He is the one who gives you joy. He is the one who gives you life more abundantly. He is the one who makes you more than a conqueror through Him. All we gotta do is go after Him. All we gotta do is worship. That's one of the things about that last song that I love, is all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was stand still. Sometimes that's so much what we have to learn. It's just, God, regardless of what's in front of me, I'm worshiping you today because I know that your promises have told me that I am a conqueror. I know that your promises have told me that I am a victor in you. So if you guys will stand back up, let's just give him all the glory this morning. Let's worship him regardless of where you're at, regardless of what's happening. Know that he's taking care of it, that he's worthy of all the praise because he's already won the battle for you. He's already fighting for you. And all you gotta do is just worship and enjoy his presence as he gives you direction, as he gives you everything that you need.
Oh, hallelujah. Raise your hands and give him a clap, Halford, and just say, Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would just, Father God, come now, Holy Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. As we read your word, Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with what you want us to hear, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are able to do far abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And Lord, we're here, Lord, to hear from you today, Lord. We don't want to hear a man. We want to hear from you, God. We desire to hear your voice speaking deep within us, Lord. This is the way. Walk in it. Hallelujah. Because God, you're so good. God, you're so good. So, Lord, touch your people this morning, Father God. Father God, we are in a time, God, where we don't know what's going on, but you do. So, Lord, we thank you that we are sheltered under your mighty arms, God. And, God, whatever you desire, Father God, whatever it is you are doing, God, Father, we thank you that we are part of it. Amen. We are, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. If you say amen, if you agree, amen, hallelujah. Glory to God. Shake somebody's hand before you sit down. Tell them, hey, it's good to see you in the house of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may look like an old bowling alley, but it ain't no bowling alley. Come on, man. Hallelujah. The balls have been retired. The pins have been retired. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Speaking of retirement, I like her being retired. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Woo. Hey, Giselle. How are you? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. You know when the Holy Spirit's hitting is when you see look around and see the drummer. He's in there with his hands in the air. Sticks are right on. Praise God, man. I love that. I love it, man. Praise God. How are you guys doing this week? Had a great week? Some say yeah, some say no. Hallelujah. Had a great week. Hey, I'm going to read something. I'd like everybody to stand to their feet just one more time. Sorry, I'll let you sit down in a minute. If I got to stand up, I want to make you stand up. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Read this with me because this is the Gospel of John. And when I didn't plan on this last night. When I got up this morning, just going over my notes, I felt the Holy Spirit said, I want you to read this. Have everybody read this morning. So I had to put it on top of my notes. Is that okay? Hallelujah. How many believe God knows what he's doing? Yeah. Come on. That's pretty light clapping. Yeah. How many believe that God knows what he's doing? Yeah. Man, you better hope he knows what he's doing. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You better believe. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Read this with me. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and not without anything that was made. Praise God. I'm messing you up. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light,
but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lights every man comes into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, stop right there. But as many as received him, as many as received, how many of you received God? How many believe in God? How many believe that Jesus died for your sins? So as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. How do you like that? Yeah. Sons of God. That's who y'all are. Ladies included. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Even to them that believe on his name. How many believe on his name? How many believe on his name? Can I tell you, there is no other God that would send his son into the world. There's nothing out there. How many say amen to that? It's only one God. He's got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Man, God. Hallelujah. That believe on his name, which were born. Keep reading with me. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
We beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus, amen? Hallelujah. The Word of God. Hallelujah. That's why, Father, we honor you this morning as we read your word. Father, because your word says that Jesus, who is the Word, became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and we beheld your glory as the glory. We beheld you, Lord. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, speak to our hearts. As these words proceed out, Lord, let them enter into the vessels that are hearing, and let these words become so implanted within them that they have no other choice but give you glory and honor, God. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Sit down. Why don't you all sit down? Tired of standing up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, had plans again last week from what I was going to do. And then the Lord said, nah, you're not going to do that either. So I don't know. It's getting to where I don't want to make plans anymore until Saturday. Is that all right? Hallelujah. I was up till 2 o'clock this morning, man. I said, okay, God, I got it. I think I got it. Can I say this? No. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. So I want to take you to Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. Forceful faith. That's what we're talking about this morning, forceful faith. Amen? How many know that God wants you to force your way into the kingdom? Is that right? And you do that by getting one-on-one with him and say, God, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Talk to him. Say, Lord, I need to know what you're saying to me. I want to know. How many know that, as we talked about last week, he begins to open up the things to you because he loves you. And he's got more than you even realize. How many say amen to that? Amen. How many know that we have kind of a limited view of what's coming? How many say amen? We can look at the news if you want. But as far as the kingdom of God and what it's doing on the earth, we kind of have a limited view. Is that right? Is that right?
Yep. Amen.
God wants you to have a good view of what's going on in your life. Is that okay? Because you are part of this kingdom. And this kingdom that he's bringing in, oh, God, it's going to be big. It's going to be cool, man. I'm telling you, folks, I really believe that things are changing right now. The events we're seeing on the earth right now are bringing the will of God into the earth in a way where his glory will be seen all across the world. How many say amen to that? Amen. It's going to happen. It's okay. It's cool. I just say to you this morning, I'm going to tell you, heaven's not for people. You ever go, what? Heaven never was created for man. Oh, God collects and gathers those that pass on in the heavenlies. And they see the city. They see that city that God has prepared. That city that's in the heavens, you're going to see, if you read Revelation, you're going to see that that city pulls out of heaven and comes down and sits on the earth. Do you know that? Hallelujah. And all, and the, even the Lord, and the, you see it in the scriptures, even the Lord and the Lord Jesus, they all, they sit on the throne in that city on the earth. That's what the scriptures say. Heaven on earth. How many say amen to that? That's why he told us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Hallelujah. Oh, we've been preaching the kingdom like crazy lately. How many say amen to that? Amen. Folks, we're not the kingdom hall. That's right. How many know that? We are not the kingdom hall. We are the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Amen? Hallelujah. And he said, fear not, little flock. Everybody say bah. Nobody wants to say bah. Everybody say, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you, the kingdom. You. He wants to give you that kingdom. He wants you to see it, know it, and understand it, that how it works in your life. And I will tell you, folks, that's how the body of Christ is built. When you see the kingdom, how it works in your life, and you begin to just, I mean, just walk in that, what you're seeing, you'll see that everywhere you go. And I'm not trying to get folks to leave this church. Is that okay? You guys all right with that? I'm not trying to push you out. But I'll tell you, I do believe God's got places where he'll take his people. And everywhere you go, because you know who you are in this kingdom and how you are to operate, because God shows you that, you're going to fit anywhere. Anywhere you go, you're going to be part of this kingdom that's all around this earth. Never before has the kingdom of God has the earth been covered with people that believe him. Amen. Never before. And you're going to see, hey, the nations, the Bible says that the nations will bow their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for his glory. Folks, it's not about mankind. It's about the kingdom of God and God's kids. You say amen to that. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're just a kid, kid. You're just a kid. Yeah, I don't care who you think you are. I don't know who you think you are, but you're just a kid. Amen? That's who you are. You're a kid. Hallelujah. You're a God's kid. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I'm excited about these things. Amen? I mean, it pays to be excited about what God's doing. Come on. I'm going to tell you, get a little excited about what God's doing. You're going to see God coming to talk to you, man. And he's not coming to swat you or beat you down. He's going to come and say, man, I'm going to bless you, man. Is that right? David danced with all his might before the Lord, and his wife got upset. I don't even know why I'm over here. But his wife got upset at him because he was in the middle of worshiping God. God, I just thank you for what you've done. You brought the Ark of the Covenant. He's dancing before the Lord, and his wife, Micah, looks out, and he goes, look at this guy. He's shamefully uncovering himself in front of all the young virgins in Israel. And she called him on it. And the Lord closed her womb. Isn't that weird? I say, man, God loves his people to rejoice. He loves it. When you get up and you just, you know what, you get up, hey, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm just going to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care if I just wrecked my truck. I don't care if my roof just fell in or if a bed, the water, leaky water. I don't care. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to thank you, Lord. And you watch what God does. Because he loves, he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits them. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Why would he want to inhabit you if you're just completely complaining all the time? I wouldn't even want to be around you myself. How many have been around people that complain? That's all they do is complain. Come on, man. It gets a little wearisome, doesn't it? Hey, what? And then sometimes you want to be nice. Hey, can you stop a minute? Rosie told me that the other day. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm stopping her already. Stop. No. I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 7. I'm going to start at verse 36. And I want to talk about a faith that is forceful. Forceful. The word of God tells us that God wants us strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And in that strong, in that strength, he wants you to force your way into these things. Say, Lord, I'm coming in. I'm coming to get what you got for me. Hallelujah. He loves that. He really does. You set your focus on things above, you watch what happens here. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he should eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that's touching him, for she is a sinner." How many of you say amen to that? Isn't that weird how folks are? This guy invited Jesus into his house, and surprise, we have a guest that showed up that wasn't invited. How many say amen? I'm gonna tell you, this is a forceful faith that this woman's operating under, and Jesus sees it. And this, the owner of the house says, "Who let her in?" Looking at his servants, probably, "Who let her in? Which one of you opened the door for her? How come you didn't push her away?" That woman was not going to be pushed away. How many say amen to that? She's going to force her way in there. I love what Jesus does. Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." Yeah. Trying to be all cool. Yeah. "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Seest thou this woman, Simon? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth a little." And he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgives sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Here a woman came in, a repentant woman. Can I tell you that Jesus recognized her heart and what she was doing? Amen? She had done some stuff that was wrong. Is that okay? How many of you know it's okay to do stuff wrong? It's not really. But can I tell you that God knows your heart? If you say, "You know what? God, I don't want to live like this." How many say amen to that? This lady, when she saw Jesus going into that house, she ran home and got a box of ointment that was probably very costly. And she moved her way in there. She kind of walked in and stood behind him. And when she was crying because of her repentant heart, how many say amen? Do you know it's important that you repent? Yeah. Do you know? Come on. I'm going to say this to you. Your sins have been forgiven. Can you say that? Jesus died on a cross for you. Is that okay? You guys like that? 2,000 years ago. You like that? Somewhere in kind of 2,000 years. Every sin, since you believe in him, every sin, everything that you've done since he died on the cross for you, everything has been paid for. Do you understand that? Do you realize that Jesus said, "I am the end, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. He said, God sees everything from the beginning of time all the way to the end of time. And he saw you and he said, you know what? I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to die for you. And he washed your sins away. Is that okay? Is that good? Hallelujah. This is why the word of God teaches us to come boldly into the throne of grace. Do you know that? He says, walk right in. It's your Father's house. Is that okay? Yeah, but I did this and I did that. Yeah, this was wrong and everything. See, God knows those. He already paid for them. He knew in advance that you were going to do them. He paid for them so that you could go before him and say, God, I just need to get rid of this. I don't know how to get rid of it. I'll tell you, I didn't know how to get rid of alcohol. I couldn't get rid of it. It was in my life, and I knew I was losing my wife. I knew things were happening. I'd show up with new dents on my vehicles. How many say amen to that? I mean, I look at my truck, I go, man, I must have hit something last night. I look on the other side, oh, I did hit something. I must have rolled this thing. No. But I didn't know how to get away. And when Jesus came into my life, I was released. And then he told me, he says, I washed your sins away. They're gone. Yeah, but I did. Yeah, they're gone. Well, I made a mistake yesterday. They're gone. Isn't that cool? It's not something to take advantage of. How many say amen to that? There's folks out there that will take advantage of the fact that they've been forgiven. So they think they can go do anything they want and everything. Does God pay for those? He paid for that. But I will tell you, there's something. God knows your heart. Were you really saved? Did you really give your heart to the Lord? It's kind of crazy, huh? This woman came in with a repentant heart, and she cried and she cried. And then she wiped her feet with her hair, and then she grabbed her box of ointment and put it on her feet. This woman, in that repentant state, had a better idea than most people in the house who Jesus was. How many say amen? She knew he was the forgiver of sin. She knew that he would give his life. She anointed him for his burial. You'll find that in the other scriptures. She anointed him for his burial that would happen after he died on the cross. That's cool. And then Jesus tells her, your sins are forgiven. And at this time in Israel, I mean, there was only one way to get rid of your sins. Do you guys remember that? You take a little lamb or a goat or a bird or whatever for whatever your transgression was, and you took it to the priest, and they killed this little bird, and they shed its blood for you. Is that crazy? It never washed your sins away. It covered them. And so these guys were not, the Pharisees definitely were not used to these words, your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins? They said, wait a minute. Who do you think you are? Hey, the miracles I do, they speak to you who I am. Is that right? Jesus was doing some things in the midst of and they were accusing, oh boy, oh man, this guy is off. He's a sinner. And he tells the lady, he says, go your way. He says this, now he says, your faith has saved you. How important is faith to God? Very important, isn't it? God loves. I was telling folks in our board meeting the other night, I said, you know what? I believe that the currency of heaven is not gold and silver. It's not your works. That's not the currency. The currency of heaven is faith, your trust, the joy that you have. That's the currency of heaven. Peace. How many like that? How many like having peace? Oh, man, praise God. Hallelujah. Taking another story, turn over to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Hallelujah. I love this story. I love them all, I guess. How many have favorite things in the Bible? This is Luke 17, starting at verse 11. The Bible says that it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That was the law. Amen? They had to stand afar off, and they say, cover their face, say, unclean, unclean. Amen? They had masks on. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was the law. It was the law. You got to have a mask. Does that sound familiar to you? Yeah, come on. It's a wonder they didn't start yelling out and say, unclean. You got to, yes, start yelling unclean. Amen. Oh, man. So here these 10 guys are out there, and he says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, what? They were cleansed. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Amen? What would you have done? Say, hey, we're lepers, man. Yeah. Oh, man. But as they turned to leave, they obeyed the Lord, and he said, go show yourselves to priests. That was the law. Anybody that had leprosy had to, if you thought you were, it had gone away, you had to go to the priests, and they had to put you away for 10 days. And after 10 days, they look at you, and they say, okay, maybe. And they see, because, I mean, hey, it wasn't like, it didn't have like microscopes back then, right? So all they could do was look. How many say amen? So they said, okay, so another 10 days. It was a real process to get you to find where they say, yeah, I guess you're clean. Go home. You can go home to your family now. So Jesus told them, those 10 guys, go and show yourselves to the priest. Let them pronounce you clean. That's basically what he was saying. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, everybody say one of them. One of them, I just try to make sure you're awake. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Can I tell you, can you sense that, what he said, what he did? All of a sudden, he sees that he's clean. He turns around and he praises God. Can you? Oh, man, I can imagine the joy. How many say amen to that? The joy that came on this guy. With a loud voice, he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the 9? Well, they went to go show themselves the fear. They did what you said, Lord. But this one turned around. I just want to point out that what it does to turn around and get back to Jesus' feet. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you might be on your way out, but you sense this. Hey, you know what? Has that ever happened to anybody? I mean, when I was working at the mine, it hardly happened to me at all. But it's happened to me at the house where I'm getting ready to leave. And it's almost like the Lord said, wait, I got something else to say to you. Come on back. Come on back. So I turn around and I go back to the Lord. And I just spend a little more time with him. And sometimes he'll say something to me. Sometimes he'll reveal something to me. It's awesome. How many say amen to that? Praise God. God wants to spend time with you. He loves it. He loves it when you turn and come back. This guy was on a mission. But for the moment, I'm going to turn back and I'm going to worship God for what he has done. Amen? Oh, yeah, I love it. Where are the 9? Jesus said, there are not found that return to give glory to God except for this stranger. He called him a stranger because he was a Samaritan. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Thy faith has made thee whole. I love that statement because that statement tells that man something different. How many say amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How many of you know that? This law that they were under, the law where Jesus told them, go over and show yourself to the priests. Those 9 left. They were probably 14 days into their process while this other guy was walking around downtown, walking around the folks, because Jesus said, hey, go your way. go your way. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? There's a difference between the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and a difference between the law of sin and death. Those others obeyed Jesus. They left, but they were under the law. But this one, he turned around. They said, go show yourselves to the priest. This one turned around and went back to Jesus. And I'm going to say who Jesus was. Jesus is not just a man. He's not only the Son of God, but he is the great high priest. This guy turned back and went to the great high priest. And look at what was pronounced over him. Go your way. You don't have to go. I mean, you're done, bro. Go ahead. Go to your house. Isn't that cool? Totally different because of what Jesus does. Ooh, man, I love it. Man, I love this stuff. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says this. You guys know this one? But without faith, it's what? Possible. To please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Can I tell you, God is looking for you. Can I say that? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro all across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are perfect toward him. How do you say amen to that? God is looking for you. And he says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. These are good words, folks. They really are. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. I'm telling you what to do right now. You've got no idea what to do in the situation you're at. I'll tell you what to do. Seek him. He will do more for you than the best lawyer you can afford. Amen? And most of the time, those guys don't care about you. Is that right? Isn't that right? Now what we're learning, the kingdom, those guys don't care about you. They don't care. All they're looking at is, yeah, come on, yeah. Bring me some money and then maybe we can talk. Is that cool? Hey, you don't know what to do? Go to the Lord. Talk to him. He loves you. He will never, ever kick you out. He said, yeah, let's talk about it, Fred. Is there a Fred in here? Good, because yes, there is. I'm sorry, Fred. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mario. Any Mario's in here? Let's talk about it, Mario. Yeah, come on, man. Sorry, bro. I didn't mean to call you out like that, but come on up. No, I'm just kidding. Fred says, what? Are you kidding me? My first time here. I'm never coming back. Praise God, no. He'll never push you out. He wants you with him. They that come to him must believe that he is. Do you believe that he is? Oh, yeah. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe that God is? He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's none like him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I tell you, there are rewards for seeking God. God loves somebody that seeks him with all their heart. Is that right? He loves that. So when you begin to seek him, there are rewards. Can I tell you, joy is a reward. Peace is a reward. Hallelujah. Direction. God will give you direction. He will help you. He says, call upon me in times of trouble, and I will answer you, and I will deliver you, and I will show you my plan for your life. That's what he says. There are some of you in here that don't have an idea what God wants you to do. But he's saying, hey, just kick back. I mean, kicking back. Does anybody in the house like kicking back? Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm retired. I can kick back better than all of you, probably. I said, yeah, let's just kick back. God, I'm kicking back. He goes, I'll help you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 1. So why do we talk about that? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is not just this whatever out there that we have. Bible, the Word of God says that it is substance. Faith is substance. It's tangible. Maybe not to you, but it is to God. It's very tangible with him. Like I say, it is a currency of heaven. God says, hey, yeah, put your faith in me, put your trust in me, you watch. And then he says, faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of what? Abe, you're a CSI agent, aren't you? Abe's a CSI guy, right? Yeah, not doesn't just watch the movies. This guy really is a CSI. Do you ever examine anything that you can't see? Yeah? With your scope. Okay, do you, if you can't see it with your scope, can you examine it? Huh. CSI my eye. Just kidding, bro. Hallelujah. Hey, it's evidence of things not seen. What is? What is evidence of things not seen? Faith. There's been ladies of, I mean, I my pastor's wife was telling me one time when she was, her daughter had something going on and she, they had taken her to the doctor and the pills were making the child sick and everything. But one day at her kitchen sink, the Lord said, don't give her any more of those pills. And the doctors threw a fit. How many say amen to that? Yeah. Doctors will throw a fit. What? Threw away your medicine? Yeah.
That's right.
What? The Lord told me. Isn't that crazy? The Lord told you what? To throw away your medicine?
Yep,
Amen. That little girl was healed. God had a different plan. Amen? Faith is tangible to God. It's tangible. God's looking for it. We're in a time in our world where it's easier to not believe God than, how many say amen to that? It's almost easy to, but not for me. My faith says, I'm going to believe God no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. It's crazy. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this. Examine yourselves. CSI yourself. Right? Is that okay? Examine yourself, whether you be in what? In faith. Test your own self. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You're a bunch of reprobates. That's a kind of a weird word, huh? Examine yourself. See if you're... Can I tell you that sometimes when something happens, you know, we all get these knee-jerk reactions. How many, when something happens and all of a sudden, man, yeah, God, do this or that. How many say amen to that? You get this, you almost, and then you stop and you go, oh, hey, God, hey, can you help me here? Is that right? We get these instances that sometimes pull us out of the faith realm into the reality realm. And the truth of the matter is the reality realm is the faith realm. Can I say that to you? Because God says, my word is true. God says that he's not a liar, neither is he a son of man, that he has to tell you a lie. He said he'll always tell you the truth. He'll always tell you exactly the truth. So he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Are you believing God? He says, prove your own self, test yourself. Hey, can you test yourself? Yeah, you can. Absolutely. He says, know you not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, I'm gonna take a little. How many of you know that Jesus dwells in you? You accepted Jesus into your life. How many of you know that Jesus dwells in you? Okay, you know, and I'm not counting. I'm not gonna pull you down outside in the parking lot and say, hey, man, I'm not gonna let you go until you receive the Lord. I'm gonna say, when you accept Christ in you, he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? He sends that Spirit to come within you so he can lead you and guide you, teach you things that you might not know, that you might not understand, but all of a sudden you have this understanding because the Holy Spirit is working within you to bring things to your mind to show you things. Is that okay? How many like that? I love it when God does that. God is good at doing that. He will show you things, some things that you didn't read. You looked at it 2 years ago and reading your Bible, and then one day you're reading it again, and all of a sudden you see something totally different that you had never seen in that scripture, and God opens it up to you, and you go, oh, I never saw it there. How many have seen that before? God, by His Spirit, does that to you. He's awesome. He's good at it because He knows your situation. Can I tell you that you can go to teachers, you can go to all these folks, we can have every day with a Sunday school class. But if God doesn't open anything up to you, you're not really getting anything. How many say amen to that? God has to open these things up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He opens them and He shows you. And I love it. So it says here, he says, Christ is in you. Okay, here's a little. How many of you know that when you were born again, when you accepted Jesus and what He did, you became born again? How many of you know that? Yeah, is that true? Yeah. How many of you know that you became brand new?
Yeah.
Do you know that, right? Does the Word of God say that?
Yep.
It says, let's bring up 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Everybody say new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is that right? How many things become new? Everything. How many is everything? Okay, let me just put it to you in a way. Maybe you might think of, okay, ladies, if you buy a set of dishes, right? What do you do with your old ones?
Donate them.
Get rid of them, okay? Or do you just keep them all together? Most ladies don't. Most ladies are going to say, I'm getting rid of these old ones. We're going to go with the new. How many say amen to that? Guys, when you buy a new pickup, do you pull a rearview mirror out of your old truck and stick it in your new one? I like this one better. How many of you do that? Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm gonna pull my seats out of my old truck and put them in my new truck. Come on. Nobody does that, amen? Hey. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. Everything. It doesn't just say everything, it says all things. All things become new. Can I just say to you that even your faith doesn't belong to you? It's not your faith. The last scripture we said is examine yourselves. Know you not that Christ dwells in you? Amen? He wants you to operate on His faith. Oh, somebody, what? What are you talking about? He wants you operating in His faith. Can I tell you that His faith is stronger than your faith? Can I tell you that He knows His Father a lot better than you do? Everything became new. You will recognize scriptures when it says that everything's become new. You're going to see that the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is that right?
That's right.
It's not your joy. It's His joy in you. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds. Whose peace? The peace of God. I think it's Romans 5, you'll see the Word of God says that the love of God is poured out into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Not your love anymore. You died. Is that right? How many of you know that you died? Let's put up Galatians chapter 2. Therefore, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Is that right? Do you see that first verse? I have been crucified with Christ. You, if you believe in Jesus, that He died for your sins, you have been crucified with Him. You died on that cross. The moment you believed, your sins were washed away. Can I say that to you? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Is that right? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, not your faith. You live by His faith, who died for me, who loved me, and gave Himself for me. Isn't that cool? The faith that you are lived by. So can I just say He makes it easy for us? Can I say that? Can I tell you that? Can I say, sometimes we think being in a religion is just do's and don'ts and all this other stuff. Where God says, no, man, just let me do it. Let me give you the peace. Let me give you the joy. Let me give you the love. Let me give you the faith. It's a whole different story. Can I say that to you? It's different than what you've been growing up on. I was never taught this when I was growing up. I was never taught anything like this, that is God. I was taught, hey, man, run around the neighborhood and see who you can get saved. And I was taught to go knocking on doors and go bother people. How many say amen to that? I don't know how many people. I was taught that. But God said, no. I was taught, I was taught that if I led somebody to the Lord, I had to be with them and spend my time with them and all that. And raise them up. I was taught that I was in charge of that. I was responsible for that. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit says, well, what do you want me to do? Exactly. I said, duh. I said, man, good point, God. God paid for them. Let him raise them. See, the Pharisees wanted to raise everybody the way they want. And God said, you make them twice the child of hell that you are. That's what he told the Pharisees. God has a way of raising folks that you can't even imagine. So let them, he say, man, trust God, bro. Teach it, man. He comes to you and say, yeah, you know what? Turn him around, push him to Christ. Isn't that right, Randy? Turn him around, say, go to Christ. Go to Jesus, because he's the one that will build you. Folks, it's not about who your pastor is. It's not about who your favorite evangelist, the prophet that you like to listen to. The Holy Spirit is in your life to lead you, to guide you. Let him do it. It's not religion. It is a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he knows you better than any other person in the world. So why would you go to anybody else? It's like a slap in the face. Oh, hold on, God. I'm going to go to Benny Hinn, or I'm going to go to whatever. I don't know. I don't know a lot of them out there anymore. I don't listen to them. Because I have a God that wants to talk to me personally. I don't care what's going out there. I don't care. I do know that God is building the kingdom, and that more and more people are hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to them in these days. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. It takes a lot of pressure off of people. Amen? It takes a lot of pressure off of me. Come on, I'll tell you that for sure. I don't have to be responsible for you. I love you. I do. But there is no way that God's going to let you say, well, Pastor Henry said this, Pastor Henry said that. Mm-mm. You go, well, what did you find in my word, my friend? What did you see? How much did you allow me to speak to you? Come on, man. Hallelujah. It's a one-on-one relationship with God. We need to know one-on-one what God, we go to God for one-on-one time so he can move us into the places where he wants us to be. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I don't worry about the finances of the church. Not mine to worry about. Amen? God, I'll let you worry about it. Come on, man. Did you notice we never asked for any of your money? God told me when we started this, he said, I want you to put a box in the back of the church. People that understand my financial system will find that box. We had a little boy come up here one day. He says, you forgot to take the offering. I'm looking at him. I said, there's a box right back there. And he ran over there and stuck his little envelope in that box, turned around. He was just as proud as could be, smiling. You forgot to take the offering. Hey, we don't take offerings here. You want God to bless you, you put your money in the box. You bless people. You watch what God will do. The other thing he told me not to do is corral his people. Don't you corral my people. How many ever been in a church where you felt like you were corralled? You better be here on Wednesday. You better be here on Saturday night prayer meeting. You better be here on Sunday morning. You better. Come on, man. That's not what God is about. God does not take attendance for the folks that are in here. Can I say that to you? Is that okay? This is a whole different way of looking at church, isn't it? Amen. You come in for the word of God. Amen. Because God wants to feed you. Yes. God does want to say things to you. He will use men of God to speak to you. Yes. But you have a place where he will speak to you directly. Hallelujah. Know that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Seems like I'm kicking myself in the shoe, huh? Seems like I'm kicking myself in the foot. I mean, saying, hey, man, there ain't nothing going to happen here now. Nobody wants to get my... No, man. God will speak to you. He will talk to you. He will lead you and he will guide you. Had some folks come in. Then they said, hey, we're coming from this church and another church. And one of the things I said, and they said, we want to give a tithe to your church. I said, no, your tithe belongs to your church. You can give an offering here, but your tithe belongs to your church. Isn't that crazy? Do you need money? I've got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on my side.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. I really not. The guys on the board, Stephen, they will tell you that I don't even look at our sheets, our financial sheets. I let them worry about it. Amen. I mean, say amen. I say, yeah, I'll let you guys worry about it. I'll just say, got any questions? Ask me. And generally my answer is, hey, we trust God. Amen? Praise God. God's going to do what he wants to do. And all we have to do is say yes, Lord, when he tells you something. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? That's how he wants you to live. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. I want you to look at this. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. This is kind of a strange one. You look at it first. It says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. The just shall live by faith. What does it mean that it says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright? You see, God created you spirit, soul, and body. You are to be led by the Spirit. That's what the Word of God says. I think it's Thessalonians says that Paul says, he goes, I pray that you would be strengthened spirit, soul, and body by the Spirit of God. Your spirit is always supposed to be in charge. Your soul is to be subject to the Spirit of God and your spirit. And your body is to be subject to all, everything above. How many say amen to that? That's why when the Bible says, the Word of God says, by your stripes you've been healed, you take that into your spirit and you begin to, by your spirit, begin to speak to your body. Hey, I fell off. My shoe was so, I could barely get my boot on this morning because I'd fallen back there in the back. I stepped on a board and I knew I was going to twist my ankle. So I actually threw myself on the ground. Can you imagine? So I think I was just fluttering there. And my granddaughter, what's going on? What's going on, Tata? I said, hey. But I stood up. I said, Lord, I know what your word says. Even though it's hurting, your word says, by his stripes, I've been healed. And can I tell you another kind of scripture I like to stand on? The word of God says that not one of Jesus' bones were broken. Do you know that when he went to the cross? The cross says that not one of their bones was broken. So I even stand on that. Hey, none of these bones are broken. My spirit has to be in charge of my soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind needs to be reconnected to what God is saying. Can I say that to you? How many of you know that? How many of you understand that? Your mind can get away from you. Is that right? How many of you tried praying on the way to work in your car? How many tried doing that? How many times do you get distracted? It happens a lot. Amen? Your mind needs to be redirected back into hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. Your will, what you want to do, needs to be literally shut down. Can I say that? Because the Word of God says you are dead. You've been killed. You died at the cross. Can I? Some of you smell dead. No, I'm just kidding. You're dead. Hey. Yeah. So your mind, your will, and your emotions, your will needs to be brought in. Can't do things the way you used to do them, amen? Because you're a new man, you're a new creature, you're a new creation in Christ. And then your emotions. How many of you know people that get all over the place with their emotions? How many know anybody with their emotions out of control? Watch Pastor John, you'll find out what it's all about.
No, I'm just kidding. Where'd he go? He's not here. Yeah, there he is back there. No, man. No, now, there are men of God. There are weepers. I may say amen to that. They're sprinklers for the body of Christ. Amen. That's what we got, Pastor John and Brother Steve, and praise God. Good folks. But folks, the mind, the will, and emotions need to be brought in obedience to the Spirit of God that's leading your spirit. When those things begin to happen, because of the Word of God, you begin to speak to your body the Word of God. And that connection becomes a complete connection, and healing begins to flow. Youth, listen to me, youth begins to flow. Can I tell you something? The Word of God says you have the dew of your youth on you. Do not let the mirror out-talk you. Don't let that mirror tell you anything. I've learned that. God got after me about it. He said, don't listen to what it says. Is that right? How many of you look in the mirror and say, man, I'm getting old? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. How many of your friends around you say, hey, you're getting old? How many of you, sometimes they say, well, I got a pain in my back. Yeah, well, it's because you're getting old. You know what? Everybody around you is going to tell you that. But the funny thing is, God says, no, you've got the dew of your youth upon you. How many say amen to that? How many of you say, I can go with that? Yeah. Hallelujah. I was telling a lady this morning, I said, you know, she said, well, I'm getting a little older. I said, hey, how old is Methuselah? Anybody? Don't say anything. 969 years old. And those years are the same kind of years we got, folks. There's no difference in their years than what our years. You know, they didn't count by every 3 months and they're another year old. Like, how many dogs? Dogs are what, every 7 years? Yeah. They didn't count that way. They count the same way we did. 969 years old. That makes you look like a baby powder puff boy. Isn't that right? Or girl. Isn't that right? The dew of your youth is upon you because of the Spirit of God. If you listen to him, the strength of God will begin to overtake you because the Word of God tells you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Lord has commanded your strength. All these things God has placed there for you so that you might live, come on, folks, and not die. How many say amen to that? God is serious about what he says in his Word. That's why you got to look at that. Don't be looking at any other thing. I would say, you know, I would not. My thing is to always people to the Word of God so that they can hear what God's saying to them personally. Is that okay? Can you stand? Hallelujah. When it comes to health, when it comes to finances, when it comes to your youth, how many say amen to that? How many like that? When it comes to all of those things, you've got to have a forceful faith. You've got to have a faith that says, man, I'm going after these things. Is that cool?
Yep.
Hey, do not just lay down for anything. Don't lay it. I mean, hey, when you bump yourself or when you hurt yourself, you just speak to it, say, hey, get in line with God's word. I will tell you, I've got an eye that I still need. I need God to heal. I've got hearing that because of the mind, I've got ringing in my ears all the time. And I'm just telling, I'm not begging for it. But see, the Word of God says that God answers the ones that diligently call upon him. I believe that one of these days I'm going to wake up, I'm going to notice that there's not a ringing. I'm going to walk in here and I'm going to notice that I'm only seeing one of you instead of all these heads and all these. Hallelujah. Praise God. Makes me feel like the church is full. Hallelujah. Oh, God. You know, can I just say, just tell you that God is not a man that he should lie, and he's not the son of man that he would repent of the things he's telling us. Your faith is important to him. He wants you to move towards him in faith, move towards him in faith, towards him in faith, and you watch what he does for you, okay? All right? Can you go with that? Hallelujah. I'm going to turn you loose to go eat cake, and none of you are going to get fat. Amen?
It's not gonna add an ounce to you. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, have two pieces. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, I ask you, Lord, that you would touch your people and continue to minister to them during the week. Father, as they open their Bibles, God, I pray that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, would just come upon them and lead them into the things that you have for them. Father, it is so important to our house, to this house, that everyone take their position in the body of Christ. So, Father, we're asking for that. We're believing you for it, and we're giving you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Hey, have a great week, everybody. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Forceful faith. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.